You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Kicking off our second hour here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and it's time to go to the Ohio Business Machine Hotline, which is always a great thing to do. We certainly like that. And joining us on the Ohio Business Machine Hotline, of course, OBM, Ohio Business Machine, sharp copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team, well, it's unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket. Teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum Level service provider, so OBM can tackle any of your copier problems. You'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns. Visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. And on the OBM hotline, one of our very favorites, Dane Brugler, who joins us from NFL Draft Scout and CBSSports.com. Dane, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. 48 hours, almost 48 hours. That feels pretty good to say.
It certainly does. The speculation can be over, but of course that is a fun part of the game. I'm going to start with one of our hot topics today, which is with the latest news on Shane Ray. He and Randy Gregory, considered to be two of the better edge rushers in this draft at one time, both probably earmarked to be top 10 picks. What do you see happening with those two on Thursday and or Friday? And if you're the Browns and they're there at, say, 43, are you pulling the trigger on either?
Yeah, it's going to be so tough with these two guys. They're true wild cards. And with Randy Gregory, obviously we've known about his issues since the combine and even before that. And so the big difference here between the two is with Randy Gregory, he's had 2 months to meet with teams and kind of do his mea culpas and say, you know what, this is why you should still draft me. Where with Shane Ray, his marijuana possession arrest came yesterday morning and, you know, just 72 hours before the draft, and something that he's not going to have that time to convince teams that, you know, or, you know, give his explanation and kind of, you know, convince teams. And so there's a big difference there with Randy Gregory and Shane Ray. Also factor in with Shane Ray the toe issue, something that has been debated recently. Does he need surgery? Does he need rest? When will he be 100%? Will he ever be 100%? We're talking about a player that has probably the best first step quickness in this draft. Will the toe injury affect that? Will that change things? So these two guys are true wild cards and players that I think will slip down the board, two guys that have been consistently mocked in the top 10. But where will they fall? Mid-first round? Late first round? Could they slip to the second? Randy Gregory, I think, is going to be somewhere in that mid to late first round. He's not going to get out of the first round. I feel very strongly saying that. Shane Ray, it's anyone's guess. It really is. I think there's a good chance he lands somewhere in the first round as well. So if you twist my arm, I'd say both go first round. But these guys, true wild cards.
Dane, the Cleveland Browns have been linked to taking a running back at the 19th position overall. Talk us through why that does not make sense and why you have a guy like Gurley going so high on your draft board when he was kind of a later pick, a late first-round pick in many of the early mock drafts.
Well, with Todd Gurley, it just comes down to the ACL injury. Towards ACL in November, and as long as the medical reports came back positive, as long as trainers are giving teams two thumbs up and saying, hey, you know what, is it a clean tear, the rehab's going well, he'll be back close to 100% by the time training camp in August. As long as we got that, and we did, Todd Gurley's one of the best talents in this class. And so, you know, haven't seen a running back go in the first round the last 2 years. Todd Gurley has the talent to be a top 10 pick this year, and he very well could be. You have to look at a team like the Falcons at number 8, that's a possibility. And I'm telling you, you can't rule out the Browns at number 12. If I'm running the Browns, would I do that? But, you know, I would not, because I'm a believer in Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West. Yep. You know, two guys that showed a lot of promise last year, two guys that, you drafted West in top 100. Crowell was an absolute steal as a priority free agent, two guys that I want to see more out of. But with Todd Gurley, there's a point in the draft where his talent is just too much to pass on, and so if he's there at 12, could that be the situation for the Browns? I would still be surprised if he is the pick, but I still think he's going to go somewhere. If he doesn't go top 10, it'll be somewhere in that mid first round.
Talking with Dane Brugler from CBSSports.com, you've got Danny Shelton going to the Browns at 12 in your latest mock. I think everybody here would like that. What do you think of him as a prospect? And, you know, Bill Polian was very hard on him recently on ESPN because of his 40 time. How good of a, and how safe of a pick is Danny Shelton?
Take the 40 time, just rip it up, throw it away. Who cares? It's, you know, he's a nose tackle. He's a two-gapping nose tackle, and I don't care what he runs the 40-yard dash in. And I'll be honest, I've never scouted a nose tackle who's made more plays outside the hashes. So I know he has the lateral range to possibly do that. But he's going to be a two-gapper, a guy that is a perfect fit for Mike Pettine's defense. He can plug run lanes and be a bully in the middle, but he can also push a pocket and be disruptive as a pass rusher as well. So he can be a three-down player if you need him to. I think he's better as a two-down player to keep him better conditioned. We're talking about a player that's probably going to be in that 350 range as his playing weight. So I think he's probably best as a two-down player. He's not Helaadi Nada. I don't like that comparison. That's too high for him. But he's a solid player, a guy who's going to play in this league for a long time. And I think at 12, not only is that a perfect fit for the Browns, but he also could be one of the best players available for them at that point. So it could be a perfect marriage for Cleveland if Shelton's there at 12.
Dane, it was reported yesterday that the Cleveland Browns were one of the teams to call the Washington Redskins about the fifth overall pick. And I would just like, you know, your expertise on what the Browns could be interested in moving up to the number five pick for.
Well, yeah, at this point, every team's calling every team about, you know, possibly moving up, possibly moving back. What are teams interested in? What kind of packages is it going to take? And I think, you know, Marcus Mariota, he's the favorite to go number two overall. Now, we don't know if that's going to be to the Titans, maybe another team. But if there's a chance that he does not go two, and I think the Browns have to look at picks 3, 4, and 5 ahead of the Jets at 6, what would it take to get up to 3, 4, or 5 and possibly get Marcus Mariota? And is 12 and 19, the two first-round picks, is that enough? Will those teams be asking for another second-round pick, a third-round pick? What will it take to get up into the top five this year? Because, look, the Browns want to get this quarterback position right. You know, Johnny Manziel was the first-rounder last year. We know that. The first year of that experiment did not go quite as well as many had hoped and many, you know, saw at this point last year. But, you know, I'm not ready to give up on that, but who knows what the Browns are thinking. You know, they might be willing to do that if they have a chance to get a Marcus Mariota. So I think it's just, at this point, you want to do all your homework. You don't want to be caught in a situation where, oh, wow, Marcus Mariota, he's still there at 5. You know, and you're scrambling to try and figure out, okay, should we try and move up? I mean, you're having all these talks now. You're going through every single scenario, so you're not surprised on draft day. Draft day should be a pretty easy day for you, and because you've done all your homework, you know what to expect, and I think that's what the Browns are doing right now.
Talking with Dane Brugger from CBS Sports and NFL Draft Scout. Dane, could that trade up to number 5 be for Leonard Williams?
I wouldn't rule it out because you're talking about possibly, arguably, the best player in this draft. And if you have a chance to go get Leonard Williams, who has tremendous potential as it'd probably be a 5 technique for the Browns, then you have to go examine that. You have to look at that as an option. And with Leonard Williams, he could slip a little bit just because we have quarterbacks go 1-2. At 3 with the Jaguars, they might prefer a pass rusher there. Oakland, I think they'd be crazy to pass on Leonard Williams, but they could go wide receiver at that point. But if Leonard Williams does slip a little bit, then it's something to monitor, and it's something he's a player, the type of player that you go up and get. He has that type of potential, arguably the best player in this draft. Strong hands, powerful hands, and not only are they powerful, but he knows what to do with them. He knows how to string moves together, use his strength, use his leverage, to really maneuver around blockers and make an impact in the backfield. So Leonard Williams is a player that makes an instant impact, and he's only 20 years old. He's going to get better and better. So I think Leonard Williams definitely worth going up and get if it doesn't cost too much.
Dane, we've mentioned a few of the fallers in the draft being Shane Ray, Randy Gregory, and even Vic Beasley now outside the top 10. But with just, again, almost 48 hours until draft time, who are some of the late risers up many draft boards?
Well, you know, I think Breshad Perriman, over the course of the last few months, really, he's been a player moving up steadily. When you have a player that's 6'2", 215, and runs a legitimate 4.2 40-yard dash, has that type of special speed, it's something to get excited about. And when you look at Breshad Perriman, you see a player, he improved his production each of the last 3 years, and that includes this past year with not a great quarterback situation. UCF really struggled to replace Blake Bortles, and so Breshad Perriman went over 1,000 yards this past year, averaged over 20 yards a catch, a big play receiver. He was their starting X receiver. The physical tools, just the traits, that physical nature that he brings to the field, simply outstanding. And so there are some questions about, you know, he needs to get better with his hands, his route running. Definitely not a polished player, but the upside is very intriguing. And so with Breshad Perriman, a good chance he ends up somewhere in the top 20 picks. If he's there for the Browns at number 19, I think that's a pick that would make a lot of sense.
That's what I have in my latest mock. Shelton, followed by Breshad Perriman for the Cleveland Browns. Dane, who are some of your favorite guys in the later rounds in this year's draft that could maybe fit needs for the Browns, whether it be interior offensive line, linebacker, safety, some of the guys that you'd be looking at in the late rounds, or even tight end?
Well, I think talking about interior offensive line, Ali Marpet out of Hobart, a player we talked about before.
Can he play
Division
center?
Three. The teams that I've worked him out at center, he was a 3-year starter at left tackle. He played mostly guard at the Senior Bowl, but teams have worked him out at center. And so I think he brings that versatility. He's going to face a big transition. There's no question about that. Going from Division III, where he was playing against guys that are future accountants, to the NFL level, where it's just such a big jump in competition. So for Ali Marpet, I think year one could be a little bit of a transition period. But I think by year two, we're talking about Ali Marpet as one of the better offensive linemen from this class. So if you can get him in that late second, early third round, I think there's excellent value there. And there's good value throughout this draft. At the wide receiver position, players like Trey McBride out of William & Mary. I'm a Mount Union graduate. I was there with Pierre Garçon. So I saw every play Pierre Garçon had as a senior. Trey McBride, his tape, he looks like a carbon copy of Pierre. And so I think Trey McBride in that third, fourth round, excellent value. Pierre lasted to the fifth or sixth round, and so he was a steal. I think Trey McBride could be similar in that third to fourth round range. And then another wide receiver that I know the Browns have done a little bit of research on, Ricky Collins out of Texas A&M Commerce. And so we're digging deep in the weeds, but that's where some of the best players are. With Ricky Collins, only one real year of production at A&M Commerce last year, but he was tremendous. 71 catches, almost 1,200 yards, 14 touchdowns. Reminded me a lot of Kendall Wright when we scouted him at Baylor. Just a player that's effective at every level of the field, a playmaker before and after the catch. A lot of things to work on there. So a lot of traits, a lot of workable traits, and you can get him late in the draft. He could end up being a real value. So one of those special hidden gems that you can get late in the draft.
Dane, who would you say of the guys that are consensus top 10 guys would you be the most concerned about drafting if you were a general manager in terms of the biggest chance to be a bust?
Well, I like Marcus Mariota quite a bit as a player, but you worry about making that transition. And with Marcus Mariota, you isolate the traits, and it's all there for him to be a successful NFL quarterback, physically, mentally. But it's just such a big jump asking him to go from Oregon spread shotgun offense to an NFL offense. Now, would I take a chance on him in the top 10? I would, because of what I just said. I think he has the traits to do it, but he does scare me. You used to see a lot of accuracy issues on wide open throws. He seems to get spooked easily. There's so much to work with there with Mariota, and the production obviously is outstanding. A Heisman-winning quarterback holds a number of Oregon records, but so does Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M. Johnny Manziel set a completion percentage record at Texas A&M, just like Marcus Mariota did at Oregon. But accuracy is something that you worry about, just that ball placement, because in the NFL, all those tight windows, all those window throws are so tight. You have to be able to throw and just make these pinpoint passes that he wasn't asked to do at Oregon. So I worry about that. It's something that I think is a concern. And would I take him top 10? Yes, I would. I think he's worth the gamble, but he is a gamble and someone I would worry about.
Dane, thank you very much. This is the final one for me. Well, actually, maybe it won't be, but who knows? But one more for me right now. You're at 43. You're the Ray Farmer. Randy Gregory is on the board. Do you take him? Is it an automatic yes or no?
I don't. If I'm the Browns, with everything that happened with Josh Gordon, I'm not ready to go through that again. And I don't believe that I can trust him. And so with the second round pick, with a top 45 pick, that's, to me, that's a future starter. I'm not gambling. I'm taking a guy that I know will start for my team, like a Joel Bitonio, who Browns got in the second round last year. That's the direction I'm going
to
go.
All right, so then Shane Ray, you would also say no to at 43?
I would, and that might probably be an unpopular decision among fans, but you know, I'm taking a player that I know I can rely on and a guy that I feel comfortable will be starting for me the next 4 or 5 years.
And then the last one I would say is Doriel Green Beckham, also no for you at 43.
I think it's important.
You don't like saying it, but that's what you would do. I'm more risk-tolerant, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's important with these guys that, you know, we don't lump them all in the same category with, you know, just character guys.
Like, sure.
Each one has different stories. Each individual has, you know, there's different things going on. So I think, you know, we can't paint with a broad brush. We have to look at each of these guys individually. But at the end of the day, if I'm the Browns, now is not the time where I'm taking gambles on these players if I don't feel comfortable in the second round. You know, third, fourth round, maybe that's when you start taking chances. But in the second round, I'm not ready to take a chance on a player that might not be playing for me long term.
Okay, Nelson Agholor in your recent one you have going to the Browns at 43. A lot of people seem to think he could slide up. I've seen mocks have him go as high as 14 to Miami. What are the chances he'd be there at 43? What would you think of him at number 19 for the Browns? I've heard comparisons to maybe like an Antonio Brown, Greg Jennings. He can help in the punt game. He seems to be a riser right now as well at wide receiver.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you look at Nelson Agholor, you look at Philip Dorsett, I think wouldn't be a shock if we see both those guys end up in the first round, two receivers. That there's a lot to like there. And with Agholor, to me, I see more of a Marquise Lee, and for more than just the USC helmet, obviously. Guys that are really athletic, you know, you see the athleticism not only in their routes, but then after the catch, they can do something with the ball. With Agholor, you know, he needs to eliminate the drops, needs to be a little bit more reliable in some areas, but you don't really have a game breaker there. He doesn't have the body to be a possession target, but I think he's a solid number two receiver. And so I think the first round probably a little rich for him. You know, I'm not taking a number two receiver in the first round or at least the top 20. I want more of a number one receiver at that point. But with Agholor, I think in that late first, early second round, that's probably where his range is, probably where he'll end up going. So if he does make it to 43 for the Browns, that's a no-brainer if they haven't gotten that receiver yet. So if he lasts, then I think the Browns would pounce. But I think you're right. There's a good chance he won't make it to 43.
I like the Shelton pick. I like the Agholor pick. I do not like Lyle Collins. I do not want an offensive lineman early.
I'm
I
with
still
you.
Think the line's good, and Michael Bowie's there, and then maybe in the third, fourth, you jump into that offensive line.
No, I'm with you. And trust me, mock draft, it's not what I want to see. It's just kind of what, you know, reading between the lines, trying to just pick up on certain things and trusting what I hear. And, you know, the Browns like Lyle Collins. And so at 19, he might be too good to pass up. But
yep.
My final mock that's coming out Thursday morning, I think I'm going to be leaning Shelton Perryman at that point.
That's what I got. Let's go.
I think you're on to something. I might be copying you there.
All right. Well, I hope so. Listen, it'd be esteemed company to be in if my mind is thinking like yours, Dane. Maybe it's because I've downloaded, as everybody should do. I just retweeted the link to it again because I've downloaded. And literally, if you were to look at my desk right now, I have your entire draft guide printed out, which is like a bazillion pages of greatness sorted by position. So I'm ready to go for all my draft coverage. And I've learned so much. I believe it's 187 pages. You can get it right now. I tweeted it out. I would urge you to get it because not only will you learn a lot in the next 48 hours, once the players are drafted, you can look up and know everything you need to know about the guys that are coming to your Cleveland Browns. It's a must get, and I believe he gives it away for $7 or something absurd like that. It's worth $1,000.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I had to talk them down. The bosses, they wanted to trade or they wanted to sell it for 20, and I had to
yes.
talk them down to $7 just to kind of.
As your friend, charge 20, Dane. It's worth it. Let's
yeah,
go.
I want this available to everyone, though. You know, I don't want it to be a big financial burden. So. And it's not only the first round, second round guys, but the seventh round guys
everything.
And drafted guys. Yeah, everyone. So I just want, you know, try to make everyone informed as best I can with all the details possible. And so much information packed in that thing.
There is. It is, I'm sure, a labor of tremendous love. Dane, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
All right. Dane Brugler. Check him out on Twitter at DP Brugler. He is the draft guru for CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com. His great, great guide is available right now. You can get it at MyFootballNews.com. Get there and get the Dane Brugler draft guide. 187 pages. I mean,
it's everywhere, bro.
It is all over my desk. It is so much content that it is like, and I even have it like, I got my quarterback, running back, fullback line.
Would you say it's like a tree or like a tree and a half worth of paper?
A redwood. A big tree. Tree Rollins. We'll be back with more. 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Four.